Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Ladies ruled the Grammys, but was it too hot for TV?
I'm talking WAP, WAP, WAP.
Plus, J-Lo and A-Rod's desperate attempt to save their relationship. Will it work? And the talk drama goes next level. Shows are canceled, and Sharon shocks us all yet again. Daily Pop. Hope you had a very relaxing weekend because we have so much drama to discuss. The talk is off the air. The Grammys were wild, and J-Lo and A-Rod, well, they just have everyone confused. Hailey Duff is joining us today.
Yay!
So happy to have you back. Okay, let's start with Jennifer and Alex. Over the weekend, there were reports, denials, and word that their relationship is hanging on by a thread. Y'all, what is going on here?
This is more dramatic than the last episode of Game of Thrones, honey, because I don't know what is going on.
Oh my
gosh. Minute they're not together, one minute they're together. I don't know what's
crazy.
Going on.
So they actually put out a joint statement saying the breakup reports are inaccurate and they are working through some things. A source tells us Alex is convincing Jennifer to try and work things out. He was spotted leaving the gym in Miami over the weekend and got a phone call allegedly from J-Lo. Take a listen.
Wait, hold on. Let me call you right, let me call you right back, babe.
Is that Jennifer? Is that Jen? Yeah?
Hi guys, happy Saturday. It is a beautiful day. Bye, guys.
Oh, my God. Was he pretending like it was Jennifer? Was he pretending like it was Jennifer?
No, he had
the ear pods in,
and I think he was talking on that. Listen, here, can I tell you, when the news broke, my initial thought was, this is a Friday on an award show weekend after some of the biggest celebrity stories have happened last week with Harry and Meghan, with the talk, with Piers Morgan walking off, all of these things. And I thought, oh my gosh, this is it. This is for real, because they picked a very strategic time to make this announcement, hoping between all the things that are happening on both ends, but prior to the announcement and after the announcement, that maybe it'll get buried. But of course, it's J-Lo. Right. It's not going to get buried.
We're going to hold on to it for three days.
We're gonna hold on to it. And then, whenever J-Lo posted that photo of Emmy crying with Mark Anthony, we don't know what Emmy was crying about, but then I thought, what could have happened here is that they've been having problems for a really long time, which a lot of reporting is saying that. Even they are saying they're going through a rough patch. I think that they've been going to therapy and things have gotten better, but there was probably some sort of big blowout. They probably left a lot of their close friends and family to think it's over, because you know sometimes like you're in a blowout with your man and it is over. In that moment, it is over. I'm never talking to
you. You make it known.
But then the dust settles.
Yeah.
You see your kids, they're sad, and you think, we need to handle this more delicately. We can't just be making a pulling off the band-aid and making this announcement. We need to treat this as almost like we are going through a family separation and a divorce because we need to make this transition easier on the kids. That's what I think happened.
Well, they have really beautifully like commingled their families too. You know, don't you think?
Yeah,
I mean,
no,
all their
did.
Like fun TikTok videos, and like they just seem really like one big unit.
For sure. Now, you know, I don't know a lot. But what I do know is I know men. And men are like computers. And if they're not working the way you want them to work, or they're not responding the way that you want them to respond, you reboot their asses. You reboot them, you turn the power off, and you turn it back on.
I also am known to punch a computer.
No, yeah, you punch a computer sometimes too. I think what J-Lo did was, this man was probably taking her for granted, and she wanted to show him what life was gonna be like with her.
Post J-Lo.
Let me show you what life is gonna be like without you. So let's go ahead and let this leak out, and then all those extra articles come up, like the 10 times we've hated Alex Rodriguez, or like 6 times that we thought that Alex Rodriguez wasn't good enough for Jennifer Lopez. Those things start to happen, and then your man is like, oh my God, I need you back.
It happens in everyday life. A-Rod benefited a lot from being with J-Lo.
People were,
A-Rod was known in the sports world, but people weren't talking about him like they're talking about him now.
Yes,
of
course.
And look at how much more TV time he has gotten since he's been with her.
No, 100%. Shang,
all these other opportunities he's had.
Yeah, but it's not just about that. I think, yes, you are correct. He has benefited from it. But you are also correct, and they have intermingled their kids.
Yeah.
We often do it. We do it too. I'm moving out. I'm getting my stuff, and I'm leaving. And you go to your girlfriend's house, and you only take, you know...
You're back 2 days later.
You're back 2 days later. But at least you gave him 2 days. This is the rich and famous's way of doing it. Let's put out a little bit of a release.
Yes.
Like, let him think that, you know, it's really over, and get his ass sweating. I bet you in 5 days... I bet you he ends up in Dominican Republic and he ends up staying with her at that resort.
Okay.
Because he didn't want to go.
She also put up that super
hot
video.
I was going to say, if your theory is correct,
right,
though, she included this headline very strategically in an Instagram post that she made, along with a bunch of sexy, hot videos.
She looked amazing.
She looked amazing in clip after clip after clip.
Yeah.
And in one of the parts, she talked about, like, some of these, like, false headlines. Well, she didn't talk about, but she showed, like, the Botox claims and the other things that she... And right there, first one, she took the time to add that extra headline. So and to me, it was saying, don't believe everything you hear. This is not all true. So if your theory is correct, I don't know that J-Lo would have been a part of letting this announcement get out if she would have thrown that, since she threw that Instagram video up.
Celebrities, when they're that big, can stop stories. Do you think Page Six has not had other false claims about J-Lo and A-Rod over the years that we have not seen? Because her publicist will say, if you say that and it's not true, we
can
sue you.
She's not talking to you in a month.
Yeah, she's not talking to you in a month. When Marry Me comes out, she's not going to give you the details on Lenny Kravitz. She's not going to tell you what she thinks about Armie Hammer.
Right.
And then people will scamper back. I'm saying that I think Jennifer was like, just let it come out for a minute. Well, yeah, let him just, come on, yeah, let him do it.
So you're saying he needed to just stew in it a little bit?
For sure.
Yeah.
I think he definitely needed to stew in it.
Haley, do you think they're going to last? Do you think they're ever going to make it down the aisle? Do you think they're going to stay together?
You know, I would like to think that they do because I love their family dynamic. They look really fun, and they're obviously a beautiful couple together.
Yeah.
You know, so I would, like, hope that we would get to see a J-Lo and A-Rod wedding. But that being
gonna
said,
be like, you.
Like, they're going to be permanently engaged for a decade.
Yes!
Maybe they'll make it a little sooner than we will, but... I would like to see
that. There's nothing wrong with that, though.
And I want to see her wedding dress, you know?
Yeah. We all want to see it. By the way, we're going to get it. Marry Me comes out February 14th, 2022. You'll see her in her wedding dress.
Oh, jeez. Yeah. Well, we'll just have to wait and see what happens with them. But I do love them as a couple, and I was sad to hear the news, and especially because, like you said, the family, the kids.
Yeah, they're so
cute. Yeah. Okay. Well, now we have to talk about the Grammys. The ladies killed it. Beyoncé became the most decorated woman in Grammys history and broke all the all-time Grammy wins record. One of her wins was with Meg Thee Stallion, who won 3 herself, but it was Meg and Cardi performing WAP that left some, well, left a little bit of people divided. Watch.
I don't cook, I don't clean, but let me tell you, I got this ring. Y'all gonna be swallowing me, drip down the side of me, jump out, take a leg inside of me. I get a bucket and I'm not, that's the way. I'm talking wop, 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 that's the way. Wait, wait, now make it rain if you want to.
By the way, I'm sorry. I've seen Diana Ross toggle a titty on live TV, okay? This is nothing. I've seen, you remember when she did this to Lil' Kim?
Uh-huh. They did that to herself last night. Did you see that?
Yes, she did.
I've seen it all. You know what? The Grammys knew exactly what they were getting with this performance. I think it was one of the most electrifying moments of the night. And I think for these two women to make it PG-13-ish was a stretch, but I think they did it.
Did you think it was too racy, Haley?
You know, I think it's exactly what we expected from them, from this song. You know, no, I think it's like right on point for what we were kind of like hoping it would be. And my favorite was Post Malone's face.
Yes,
he had a cocktail. And he was like, yes. You know, so I was like, post-pandemic. We've been cooped up. We need a little.
We need a little something.
Yeah.
What about your daughter? Did you want your daughter to see
them? No. My daughter was sleeping. Not watching that. No.
Yeah. I mean,
she gets to watch Taylor Swift.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But she's not watching that one.
I mean, listen, some people were saying, well, this is the same network that censored Janet and Justin at the Super Bowl. Have they totally changed the concept of what they think is appropriate? I'm like, well, that was a long time ago.
And Janet was a full nipple.
But to me...
Let's be absolutely real. Janet was a full nipple, you guys. WAP and a full nipple are two different things.
Yes, I agree with that.
I think it goes back to, again, you know what to expect with certain artists.
Right.
And these artists, I had every expectation that it was going to be over the top. In fact, I do think the Grammys needed that performance. Mm-hmm. I think all the performances were really good, but this was the only one that had that extra punch and over the top, that wow, like people are talking about the next day.
100%.
A lot of them were great, but you're not...
They were even-keeled.
Even-keeled. You weren't necessarily raving about it the next day. This is the one that gets people talking. And if 100%. You don't have something like that in your show, then what's the point of having the show?
Correct.
Right?
Agreed.
So I'm for it. I do think this is the one, though, that most mothers were, especially their young daughters, they're like, you can watch this when you're 18.
Right.
Learn those moves later in life, please.
Ryan saw, like, the first little snippet of it, and I was like, you know what? Probably you're not going to watch this one. And then she was like, but they're just in their bathing suits. I was like...
You were like, technically.
Well, I guess. Yeah, I guess.
They went to the beach before, honey. They're probably just drying off. What other moments did you guys love last night?
I love the moment when they panned to Beyonce and Jay-Z right before commercial break because everybody was waiting to see them and her award was coming next and she was pretending like she was on the phone so she wouldn't have to talk to nobody. Look at her, pretending like she was on the phone so she didn't have to wave at nobody in the camera.
I thought she was taking her mask off. That's funny.
She was
probably loving that mask though. She was like, I get to just relax.
There was a time where the mask was on her and the hook was not around her ear, and I was like, what kind of magic did Beyonce have?
You know when you walk out of Whole Foods and those people are there asking for money for green peas?
Yes.
And you put your phone to your ear so they don't talk to you because you're broke as hell? That's what she reminded me of at that moment.
One of my favorites was whenever Beyonce was walking down and they told her with Meg after they won that award, and Trevor Noah said, hey, by the way, you've just tied, and she's that shocked look on her face. But Jay-Z was like, you don't sneak up on Queen Bee.
Yes.
He like was about to stand up, and I swear if that conversation was gonna go any other way, he was about to intercept.
Well, Trevor Noah got nervous too.
Yeah.
Trevor Noah was like, oh no, no. I mean, I just wanted
to
let you know. They were like, no, this is off script.
Like, yeah.
I'm scared.
JC's like, you don't do off script to Beyonce.
Yeah.
I have to also just give a shout out to Meg Thee Stallion. I thought her speeches made me emotional and made me just really see, like, she's someone who's doing this for the art, the passion. She's so obsessed with doing music, and I was really happy for her to take home so many awards last night.
She also is just so, like, genuine.
Yeah.
When she was talking about loving Beyonce and what would Beyonce do, like, it was just very sweet and genuine and not, like...
It
wasn't fake. It was very sweet.
All right, up next, y'all, all the outrageous fashion from the Grammys. We're discussing the best looks of the night and the ones that made us go,
Things that make you go, things that make you go.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The Grammys isn't just music's biggest night, but it's also the best red carpet where anything goes. And last night's wild fashion was no exception. So, who do you think did it best? All right, let's kick it off. Here, we've got Meg Thee Stallion, Beyonce, Doja Cat.
I'm literally loving Beyonce right now.
Me too.
Just because that waist is a fashion vibe on its own. Mm-hmm. Like, she looks unbelievable. And I love, what I love the most is this sweetheart top at the top with this leather. It kind of softens it up a little bit. For me, she was the vibe.
I was very into the gold nails on the edge of the gloves, too.
Ooh, I didn't even notice
that. I like
that.
Those are fancy.
Those are good.
So cool. See, I was digging the earrings. I was like, you can't go too big. And I just covered it up with that circle, but you get the point. Okay, let's move on to Doja Cat. This neckline, guys, J-Lo vibes. Hello. Mm-hmm.
That is a V. That is a V.
But you know what? I was so happy about this because she was the one that I felt like truly brought Grammys. What I wanted this year, because we've all been locked down for a year, I wanted over the top, funky, fun. You know, you won't see anywhere else besides on Grammys night. And that's what she brought.
100%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I also thought Meg Thee Stallion brought something new to the Marilyn Monroe Diamonds Are Girls Best Friend moment.
The color is amazing.
The color is phenomenal. Shoes. The diamonds were amazing. And the shoe, the shoe was
so good.
Everything.
All right, now let's move on to the next guy here. Okay, there we go. Let me just make sure we get that. Okay. So good. We've got Taylor Swift. We've got Dua Lipa, Lizzo. What did you guys think?
Taylor Swift makes 16-year-old girl fashion look amazing. And I'm not even mad at it. I just love the applique. I love the construction of it all. The shoe for me was a big win.
Yeah.
And I like when a look kind of looks daytime-ish. Mm-hmm. Like, to me, she could have wore that to her bridal shower, or she could have wore it to the Grammys.
Or to the Grammys.
But I'm a big Swiftie, y'all know that, but right there you answered it. Right there was exactly why I didn't love it, because she could have worn that to a bridal shower. She could have worn that to something very simple. I wanted more, but I know Taylor, she stays in theme with whatever she has going on at that time, and right now, Folklore, this is very whimsical.
Totally.
This is very blah, blah,
she,
blah,
like,
blah.
Looked like her stage performance.
Yes.
Yes.
But she was like, spring has sprung.
Oh, I blossomed.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Okay, this head to... Let's try that again. Head to, okay. Head to toe, love this look. Mm-hmm. Absolutely perfection.
Everything
you
about
know,
it.
I
you did
liked it. You know, I've just seen Dua Lipa do this before time and time again, you know, with the Versace moments. The dress was beautiful. The girl is stunning. Mm-hmm. She is the person I want to be. As a performer, as a woman, I just want to look like that. But I need you sometimes to not pull the Sofia Vergara and give me the same look time and time again. That's all
I will take
that
the same
I was
look
wrong with
again
it.
And again if it's that amazing.
Me too.
I'll take it.
I'm with you, Haley. Do it
She's
over
like,
and over and over.
This is what works, and I'm going to do it.
I love it from head to toe. So good. Okay, now let's move on to the looks that... They're a little risky, should we say. Noah Cyrus, massive white gal.
Loved.
Same.
Loved the clam.
Same.
Okay? I think
so
a Grammys
good.
Red carpet is where you can take something that's so normal and so classic, like a white gown, and turn it into something else. I don't care who says what. This was one of my favorite looks of the night.
Me
and
too.
This will go down in Grammy history.
Yep.
She was like a peacock, just like, pew.
I've
you
arrived.
Know? Like, I loved it. It was so
I
nice.
I loved it, too.
And
I'm not
shoes.
Obsessed with the shoes.
You don't like the shoes?
I'm not, because
I'm
not a big platform heel person, especially if you don't get to see the shoe. It seemed as though, like, the dress was too long, so she had to make up for it with the shoe. And I thought, you know, just tailor it to...
Okay, I'll buy that.
But, again, I'm all about over the top. That's all I wanted. Over the top. Harry, over the top. Yes, boa.
No.
I loved it. No?
No.
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 Why?
Now,
I like the stage boa.
Yeah, give me that
the
black all in one.
The stage boa is
everything.
A yes for me.
Oh,
this
my
is
goodness.
A little like Cher, Clueless.
Black. Yes.
And Billie Eilish, what did you guys think? Very Billie, right?
Very Billie, very on brand, and I like that she is to and with her aesthetic.
Yes. So good.
Agreed. All right. Well, coming up, you guys, the Bachelor finale is tonight, and it's going to bring all the drama. We have all that, plus how Bachelor Nation is moving on without Chris Harrison. We'll be right back.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Welcome back. We have another big award show topping today's Hollywood Minute. Justin Bieber wins big and Kim Kardashian talks about her new kids movie at the 2021 Nickelodeon Kids Choice Awards. Justin, who also performed, won two awards, including Favorite Male Artist. Other highlights of the night included a reunion of Miranda Cosgrove and her iCarly co-stars who presented an award. Plus, Kim teased her new Paw Patrol movie role.
We had such a great time working on this movie. My kids can barely believe it when I said I was going to be in it.
Oh, yeah, that's major mother points right there. Okay, yesterday was Mother's Day in the UK, and we're told Prince Harry honored his late mother, Princess Diana, by sending flowers to her grave at her family estate. William and Kate shared notes from George, Charlotte, and Louis to their late grandmother, saying they think of her often. Charlotte wrote, "Papa is missing you very much, sweet." And it's official. Chris Harrison is being replaced for the next season of The Bachelorette. ABC said in a statement that Tayshia Adams and Caitlin Bristow will co-host as Chris steps aside and the franchise remains focused on achieving greater equity and inclusion. And that's your Hollywood Minute. Okay, so staying with The Bachelor, the finale is tonight. Along with After the Final Rose, Emmanuel Acho is taking over for Chris Harrison as host. He recently talked to Rachel Lindsay on Extra about what Matt should do if Rachel is his final pick.
Matt's in a tough position. If you are Black with someone who has been racially insensitive, you don't have necessarily the same luxury to continue to endure that relationship without pushback from society. Is it worth fighting for? And that's what Matt has to figure out. America will be kind of gripping the edge of their seats as they watch this dialogue, which they've likely never seen before.
He is absolutely correct. Mm-hmm.
What should Matt do?
I would act like I didn't see that rose. I'd be like, I don't know who I gave that to. Who's Rachel? Who said that?
Because we do think he's picking her, right?
I don't know. Reality Steve seems to think so. And Reality Steve is normally on.
He's normally right.
He's normally right. You know, I would take it like I would take any relationship. I would say, you know, is this person worth it? Do I really want to go through this fire with this person? You know, do I love them enough to endure what's about to come to us? And if you've only been dating this person for 3 or 6 weeks.
I was about to say, but does that love come in 4 weeks?
That's the thing.
But there's been time since this show has aired.
Right.
Rachel made that heartfelt apology. She says she's been doing the work. She's been studying. She's been really trying to learn a lot. Do you think there's a chance that Matt could say, we went through a really hard patch, but I can tell that she's changed. I can tell that she's sorry. I can tell that she's learned.
It's hard because when people look at the show, they only look at the timeline of the show. So for people watching, they think, oh my God, they're engaged. It's been 6 weeks. They're together. No one is going to understand that they have been off air for 3 to 4 months and they've gotten themselves together. I think he's damned if he does and damned if he doesn't.
Ugh, like, poor Matt.
He's a hard spot to be in for sure.
If you love it, if you love her, you're kind of screwed. If you don't love her, you're screwed as well. Like, it's just like, it's a lot.
I don't know, especially if you really did fall like in love and love.
For sure.
Yeah, well, he also feels like such a sweet man, too. Like, when he had the conversation with his dad, it was, like, very intense, and he just seems like a really loving person.
For
sure. You
know,
so you're, like, hard spot for him to be in.
But we've all been in that spot before. We're dating somebody for 3 months, 4 months, and then
and
all of
like,
a sudden,
what?
We find something out about them that makes us go, oh, he showed his true colors. Do I like that shade of red? Maybe not.
And the worst is especially when you fall over head over heels fast. That's,
and
poor
on television.
Matt. He needs a do-over. Okay, coming up, the Oscar nominations came out just moments ago. We are going to break down the big surprises and snubs and everything you need to know. That's next. We're not just celebrating the Grammys today. The Oscar nominations were just announced this morning by Priyanka and Nick Jonas. Joining us now to break it all down is Rotten Tomatoes editor and host of Rotten Tomatoes Is Wrong podcast, Jacqueline Coley.
Yay!
Hi. So good to see you. Hi.
So glad to be back on Oscars morning. This is my Super Bowl.
I know, your Super Bowl, your busiest day of the year. Thank you for being here. Let's get right to it.
Justice for Regina.
Yes. I mean, but you know what? This was actually a really historic morning, though, for acting nominations. Very first, we had 9 people of color nominated for Best Actor, including 2 Asian men and 6 Black nominees. That is now the record for most Black nominees.
Wow.
The big one that I think folks are going to be excited about is Chadwick Boseman,
yes,
winning a bittersweet posthumous nomination, but so well-deserved. And on the other side, there was also diversity on behind the camera with Ryan Coogler, Chaka King, and Charles King becoming the first Black producing pair for a Best Picture nomination.
Oh, wow.
So Coogler got his Black Panther nomination Oscar. It was just for a different Black Panther.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
But he made it happen.
He came right back around.
He came around.
Best Actress category. Who do you think is going to take it?
This is what is so interesting about it. A lot of the acting contests are kind of wide open. Even though you have the pedigree of someone like, you know, Viola and Frances in that one, Andra Day took home the best Golden Globe against the same crew of women. And also Carey Mulligan, I think, is the dark horse one to kind of come out with it.
Surprising. I don't know, y'all. Vanessa Kirby in Pieces of a Woman.
Absolutely incredible.
Absolutely incredible. And I have to say, it was one of those films where the directing was also very important, because in order to feel that emotion of what she was going through, I mean, this woman brought out something in me. I don't even have an ovary, and at this point, I don't even want one. This is too much.
It's got an incredible opening scene, and I think she's great, but it's a single nomination. And when you have so many films like Minari and Mank, and also One Night in Miami with multiple nominations, it's kind of hard to think that a single nomination might take it home, but there's still a lot to be said. Also, since you guys just did the Grammys, lots of double musics.
Right?
Leslie Odom Jr. and also Andra Day were double nominees, both as composers and then as well for Oscars.
So who do you think is taking home Best Picture?
Honestly, now, Judas and the Black Messiah.
Whoa!
Yeah. I did not think this morning that was... I know. So Nomadland has been sweeping up, but this is a very similar to Roma Green Book type situation. Remember,
yes,
the Oscars are the Oscars, and this is exactly the type of film that they love. Nomadland is the safe money right now, but, you know.
So whenever you watch the films, did you think that immediately? You thought, this is Oscars, or do you think that now because of how everything else has gone down?
I mean, I live this, so I've been making tally sheets since September.
She's like, this is my lane. Yeah.
But I will say this, though, folks, what's really great about this, you will be able to watch these films at home. I know a lot of folks are like, I haven't seen these films. HBO Max has Judas and the Black Messiah. Hulu has Nomadland. All of these are available now for folks to kind of take a peek. And I think it's going to be a great year to kind of surprise people that these films are really, really excellent. Can't get out of here without saying again, Justice for Regina King.
Best director.
Regina King.
Oh, I am
so mad.
Yeah, and this was a huge snub, both for her as Best Director, but also for Best Picture. It is still a historic day. You have 2 women, though, nominated for the first time ever, adding the 6th and 7th female nominees after it had been 5 in the previous 93 years.
Chloe Zhao is going to take it again?
Yes. Now, that is one where I'm fairly safe. There's 2, I would say, categories I'm almost positive on. That's Chloe Zhao for Best Director and also Chadwick Boseman for Best Actor. It's a lock. They're taking those home. And it's going to be it's going to be an Oscar moment.
Okay,
you know,
last question. Snubs. Any other snubs that totally just shocked you besides Regina?
I mean, I would say that it's a slight snub that Once Upon a Time in Hollywood didn't get Best Picture and anything for the 5 Bloods. Nothing happened at all for the 5 Bloods. Delroy Lindo didn't get it. Spike Lee didn't get it. And so I think there's a story to be said here. There's a lot of African-American actors, but not necessarily in some of the other categories like director and Best Picture did you see that sort of prevalence? Ma Rainey's Black Bottom was also out of Best Picture.
I just had the biggest brain fart in America. I was like, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Once Upon a Time in Miami.
I was like, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Came out. Yeah. I was like,
This is what happens when you have 2 years where it's a Once Upon a Time in, and then my brain.
Maybe it leaked into the next year.
No. Everybody's agreeing, and I'm like, hey, did I have 4 glasses of wine last night?
2 years in a row, you got to give me that one.
Girl, you got it. You got it, honey. You know more than all of us combined. Okay. Thank you, Jacqueline. We really appreciate you being here. Okay. The Oscars will air April 25th on ABC. After the break, we are kicking off Kardashians Week with a trip down memory lane. Remember when we first met the sisters? We're going to discuss their massive glow up, plus what Khloe just admitted about Tristan. That's next. Khloe Kardashian is no longer holding back her love for Tristan Thompson. For his 30th birthday over the weekend, she wrote, "The ones that are meant to be are the ones who go through everything that is designed to tear them apart and come out even stronger than they were before." She ended it saying, "This is when life starts getting good." It was very full of love. She is definitely saying, "I'm here for this relationship, y'all. Get on board."
I also do not date a man until he is at least minimum 30. Because
I know.
I just feel like...
To me, the 30th birthday was like a shocker. Or not a shocker, because I knew that in theory. But whenever I was like, we're celebrating him turning 30, I was kind of like brought back to,
No wonder.
That's very young, 30.
30's young. Yeah. And look, I'm only 33.
We're all very young, but 30's like very young.
It's young.
Well, it just means that they went through all this while he was literally still in his
20s. Yes. So at least we can say that.
All right, well.
A little more understanding.
Yes.
We are just days away from the final season of Keeping Up with the Kardashians, so we are celebrating Cards Week here on Daily Pop. The sisters first came onto the reality scene in 2007, and a lot has changed for them. Boyfriends, marriages, kids, of course, everything from head to toe. Let's start with Khloe's fashion evolution.
I have always kind of sort of loved that Khloe Kardashian has been the, like, bougie ghetto one. You know what I mean? Like, she likes a little hood
a little
in her clothes. So for me, she has always been my style go-to.
I say more recently than the earlier days. But then again, you look back at my pictures from 2010, and I'd say the same about myself. So, you know... I think, though, I love her style now. I mean, I actually think it's really cute because she does a lot of, like, pretty stuff, but always adds an edge, which I'm a huge fan of.
Like, this outfit for his birthday was unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
Yes.
Unbelievable.
Okay, Kylie, only 10 years old when Keeping Up debuted.
I mean, I often feel like, she's a baby, but she's always been ahead of the curve when it comes to everything.
Yes.
And it's so funny because you could tell her sister's kind of like, you know, bite off her style a little bit. Like, she probably discovered Instagram before Kim even knew what it was. And she was like only 13 years old. So it's just fun to see how she has not only evolved, but how she keeps her finger on the pulse time and time again.
It's crazy because when I look at these little scenes of her when she was like in 2011, just such a little girl, and to predict that she's going to be a billionaire in just a matter of years is just
crazy.
Kim's beauty and style sense helped make the show a hit from the very start.
Always beautiful. Always beautiful.
There was nothing ever wrong. Like, it never, ever cracked. It never, like, nothing. The style, everything has just been on point time and time again every year for the
even
last
from the beginning.
15 years.
Yeah, because it was always, like, totally on trend for the time. Kendall went from preteen to a supermodel.
Oh, my God. When we talk about just,
the
glow up. The glow up, everybody.
Yes.
You can't even mess with this woman.
I mean, I honestly feel like Kendall's always been cute, too. I just feel like, you know, like, that was really cute for the time. Like, I've always liked Kendall's style. I always think it's cute, it's sexy, it's unique, it's very her.
And, like, effortless most of the time.
Yeah. Like, she doesn't try. She just walks on and...
Well, she's a hanger. Like, literally, her body is a hanger.
Yeah, everything looks amazing on her.
Yes.
Maybe that's what it is. Okay, Courtney's looks have not changed all that much, and she still seems like she just doesn't age. Seriously.
My God.
She doesn't age at all.
It's true.
She doesn't age. She's the safest sister. Everyone needs that one safe sister who is always just like always in black, always so chic, always so minimal. She's the one.
Yep, I like it. All right, the final season of Keeping Up with the Kardashians airs Thursday at 8 p.m. here on E! Coming up, Beyoncé's special message for Blue Ivy and hers powerful moment backstage. We have the amazing moments you might have missed at the Grammys.
Don't go anywhere.
This segment is presented by MasterCard. Start something priceless.
From history-making moments to amazing performances, Black excellence was on full display at last night's Grammys. At just 9 years old, Beyoncé and Jay-Z's daughter Blue Ivy won her very first Grammy for her Brown Skin Girl music video, while her mom set a new Grammys record with her 28th win.
History has just been made. The Grammy goes to Beyoncé!
I'm so honored. I'm so excited. This is so overwhelming. I've been working my whole life since 9 years old, and I can't believe this happened. It's such a magical night. Thank you so much.
I love that she had to remind Blue. She was like, I've been working too since I was 9 years old, okay? You're not the only one who's been working. Just because you got that Grammy.
If you want to be called a queen like me, yes. Queen B, then you need to put in the work, honey.
100%.
It was Meg Thee Stallion's first time at the Grammys, and she came through with three big wins, including Best New Artist, and that almost left her speechless.
I really want to say thank you to my mama. She's not here with me today, but I know she's here with me in spirit, and she always believed I could do it. So thank y'all so much.
That made me emotional. Oh, up there.
You could tell, too, when she, like, first heard her name, she was like, wait, what? Like, no. She was just happy to be there.
Yeah.
Much less be nominated and win three Grammys. Come on,
That's
girl.
Why people love her so much, I think, though.
Yes.
You know?
Absolutely. Her and Tiara Thomas won Song of the Year, and they took a moment backstage to talk about the importance of women supporting women.
We are put against each other all the time, and we have to realize we're unstoppable together. And I support all women, women that come from different backgrounds, women that represent different things. At the end of the day, there is no one way to represent women. And I think when we realize that and we accept that, that's truly supporting other women.
Woo!
Right?
That's beautiful. And we were texting last night. Loved her look.
Ugh.
Oh, my gosh. The glam. Everything was just stunning.
Amazing.
So happy for her. Okay, and we have to talk about all of the amazing performances by Black artists throughout the night. Here are some highlights. I'm a savage. Classic, bougie, ratchet. Oh, my baby, come on. Yeah. Brand new Lamborghini.
You should try to be black like me. Oh,
yes,
so
Becky.
Good.
So good. Okay.
So good.
Up next, you guys, secrets from Cynthia Bailey's wedding. An insider is giving us details on what you did not see on TV. Stick around. There he is.
Bola.
On the far left.
You didn't see Bola?
Last night on Real Housewives of Atlanta, we got to finally see Cynthia Bailey's wedding, and someone very special was right there by her side. Watch.
With this ring,
I pledge my love.
I pledge my love.
Okay, wonderful. It is now my privilege to pronounce you husband and wife.
You've been
waiting
for. Aww.
Beautiful.
You guys,
I'm getting teary-eyed already. I'm just getting teary-eyed all over again.
What was it like to watch it back?
Well, first off, I was sweating the whole time. Have you ever worn white in a church when you're not supposed to? I thought I was going to catch on fire. But watching it back, it kind of brought me back to... Literally, it was in the middle of the pandemic, and I remember thinking, if I'm gonna go and watch these two people get married, like, that means that I love them and that I wanna be there with them, and they are just the perfect couple. And I'm just so happy that my friend found her dude. You know what I mean? And he's the bomb. I like him more than I like her sometimes. Like, he's just so good.
That's sweet.
He's so great.
What was the best moment of the wedding?
My favorite moment of the wedding, and I will never forget this, when, because I was a bridesmaid, we were sitting towards the end, and Cynthia, when she was walking in, had to turn a corner. And the corner was about an 8-foot walk. And we heard everyone gasping before we could see even what she looked like. And then when she turned the corner, I got to see it. And it was everything everybody was saying. It was breathtaking. It was crazy. It was really crazy. And also, like, weirdly enough, honestly, the reception, which was strange because you were kind of separated and you were kind of in masks, but it was still fun. We had a good old time.
I mean, I still remember whenever that was, like, right in the middle and everybody was
freaking out.
Yeah.
And we were in Atlanta.
Rightfully so, as we should be freaking out. But yeah, that was stressful planning a wedding during that time. Well, it was really cute. And the angles, man, they were good angles for you.
They were good friendly. Angles.
You look great. All right, the talk is off the air as drama keeps getting nastier after Sharon Osbourne defended Piers Morgan and lashed out at Cheryl Underwood. We're told there is serious tension behind the scenes and an internal review is underway. The show is actually taking a brief hiatus because of all of this. So what happens next?
I feel like that is very serious.
Yes.
To take a hiatus from the show.
Absolutely.
Right? Isn't it on every day?
I think it's just like a safe... I think they're just trying to be too safe. Like, if you're, you know, investigating something that Sharon did, like, as a team, let's just have Sharon sit out for a minute. This is the time where you're probably getting the most ratings and the most coverage because people are talking about the talk every single day.
And you're supposed to talk about... Like, I feel like you can't shy away from it. You should just... Talk about it on the show. What's going on?
Well, I think it's becoming a bigger conversation of not just the on-air staff, but even behind the scenes, racism feels. I think there's more that they're trying to investigate than just what happened between Sharon and Cheryl. I think there's like a bigger conversation there that's actually happening at CBS. And maybe it's best to pull the plug for a while until you get that figured out, because otherwise you could get an Ellen DeGeneres situation where you've got lots of staff members coming out and speaking from the woodworks.
That's a good point.
It's kind of like if there's a lot of people unhappy, let's just stop. Let's just like control the narrative. Let's hear everybody out. Let's see what their problems are and let's see what we can do to fix it before we've got so many articles going out about us.
But there's also probably half the staff that's like, please don't stop my bag. We're in the middle of a pandemic and let's not stop the show because one person got out of pocket.
Yeah.
Let her go get in pocket somewhere else.
Well, and to get with the messiness of all this, Sharon also shared a personal email from Holly Robinson-Pete after Holly accused Sharon of calling her too ghetto and having her fired from the show back in 2011. Now, the alleged email from Holly paints a very different story from the one that Holly is claiming now. It's really pointing most of the fingers at Julie Chen.
Yeah.
So was this a smart move on Sharon's part to share the email, or is this going too far?
First of all, let me first say that I read the email. And if something happens in 2011 and you want to reach out to your coworker and try to figure things out, maybe Holly Robinson-Pete found out that Sharon potentially called her ghetto after the email was sent. We don't know the timeline.
It was sent in 2011?
This was sent in 2011. So this is all long ago. She had 9 years to figure out what really happened.
Yes.
So I'm not saying that the email, I don't think the email really, you know, contradicts what Holly Robinson-Pete was saying. I will say celebrities these days are so afraid to be in trouble. It's like, take a step, take a breath, talk to your publicist, your manager, and your agents, and see what they think is best. I just think Sharon added fuel to the fire when she could have let it slap for a weekend. Everyone was gonna be talking about J-Lo and A-Rod anyway. She could have gotten 2 or 3 more days to think and to really process what was going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. I think she's on the defensive right now. I think Sharon, she is probably not doing a great job at just like taking a breath and like letting things settle because she is feeling all sorts of ways.
Yes.
But I think that's good advice. I also think that this internal review will hopefully tell a lot, you know, and will hopefully come out. And maybe Holly, if Holly has more receipts. I mean, the other thing is like, you're going to share receipts. Well, Holly may share receipts too, and you don't know what those are going to be. So
she's H&R Block. And by the way, the only thing she has not shared yet is an apology to Cheryl. And I'm still waiting for that.
And what cracks me up is our emails delete after 30 days. I'm like, how do you have that email from 11 years ago?
Right? Sometimes they delete after 3 days.
Haley, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. I love coming to hang with you guys.
They read our emails here.
Come back soon, you guys. Kardashians week continues tomorrow, and we have a wild new look at where the family was before they were famous. Have a good day.
They totally read our emails here. I'm not joking.
They do.